Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Red hot comic book movie news. Shooting up your butthole.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason. But maybe there's other things happening this week, Nick Mason.
In what sense?
I'm throwing to you.
Yes.
You're gonna.
I'm ready to catch. Here we go.
You're going to introduce...
Lead me into this. I can do it. I'm ready.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, it's me. It's your son. It's Master Sunday Movies.
Yep, here he is.
I'm so glad you finally let me exist in the podcast world.
This is how you reveal that you can speak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Amazing.
You've never heard me talk until now.
Why would a child? Why would a toddler reveal that they could speak on any other medium than a podcast? Why any child of yours would provide content to you?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's not your child.
He tried to make me talk on Twitch once. I was like, this is a dying format that will never catch on outside of video gaming.
Do you want to
I should do an actual intro. That'd be great. Look, we've got
it's fine. Leave it.
But it's baby talk this week. Yeah. Oh, we've got an actual special guest.
Yeah,
it's look who's talking to now. Which is the baby one?
That's one.
All of them. One and two. Yeah. Three's the dogs.
Yeah, that's now.
There is a dog here.
Yeah, there is.
Hello, dog.
It's me. I'm your dog. Hey, what's up?
Oh no. We've got an actual special guest, James. Were you aware of that?
It's a man. I can see him.
He's had many lives. He's a DJ.
Yeah.
He's a restaurateur.
Yeah.
He's a raconteur.
He's a podcaster.
He's a podcaster. The greatest honor of all to be a podcaster. It's Andrew Levins. Levins is here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
The show.
No problem. Thanks for coming out. Now, you're down for the Melbourne Comedy Festival. You came to see Tommy Dasilo's show where he insults you for...
Not insults me. Not like insults he riffs on my life for 60% of his show.
I didn't get to the show. I missed so many and I'm really pissed off.
I bootlegged it. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to try and make back all the money he made off my life by bootlegging his show,
I'll put it in the link.
In Bali on fake DVDs.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's get straight into the news. Levins, have you listened to this show before?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you know the format, so I don't have to explain anything to you. Mason, do you remember what happens every week?
I play with the dog.
Yeah, good.
The dog is here. I show up at your house. Your child cries at the very sight of me.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay, you're good to go then.
Yeah.
So they've confirmed that the Fast and Furious spin-off movie is going to be happening, and it's going to have The Rock and Statham, the combo, the duo. Did you see Furious?
No, I've not seen the latest one. Or any of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so everyone hates me more than any guest before.
That's no problem at all. But, oh no, well, I found, and Mason, I think you're the same, like those two in particular in that episode movie were the best part of that.
They've got some great chemistry.
They got great chemistry.
In the Fast and Furious Netflix series.
That's right, exactly.
And there was some controversy over... Vin Diesel and The Rock, they had a falling out.
Yeah.
Which you don't believe is real.
No, I think it's a publicity.
I think it is real, though. We didn't really touch on it last week, but there's a lot of scenes where it's clearly a body double. Like, it's clearly The Rock is there, and then over the other side of the car is just a body double who looks... It's a bald man. It could be Vin Diesel. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a...
I don't believe anyone is actually friends with Vin Diesel unless he posts a video on his Facebook of them doing, like, karaoke together. This is like all the Ruby Rose videos he did stick together.
No. What's Ruby Rose's karaoke song of choice, I wonder?
He also has done, like, there's an unbelievable... If you love Vin Diesel, he did an incredible version of Stay by Rihanna. I want you to stay. It's actually very emotional and cool.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard him sing the Paul Walker tribute song a few times in interviews, and it's very
Do they ask him to do it, or he's just like, "Now, here we go, time to bust it out."
How does the Paul Walker tribute song go?
No, it's
been a long day.
Yeah, that one.
Without you, my friend, but I tell you all about it when I see you again. It's not actually called the Paul Walker tribute. It's, yeah, it's the song that is at the end of Fast and Furious 7. I think.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, are you excited in any way for this?
For Vin Diesel's upcoming album, yes.
Yeah, sure. But Fast and Furious spin-off starring The Rock and Statham. Will you see it, or any of them, ever?
Yeah.
Does that imply that there's going to be a Fast and Furious 9 that's going to have Vin Diesel and The Rock in it, but then there's going to be a separate spin-off series?
This one that we just saw, yep, that Levin's missed, is the first of a trilogy that will end the series at 10. Apparently.
Wow.
That's the story, yeah.
Imagine having the balls to just say the most ridiculous thing and then for that to be what's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially because it made the most money of any movie ever in the opening weekend. It beat Star Wars, but it did open in China, and Star Wars didn't open in China.
Well, so. I learned today, speaking of bold proclamations, I learned today that James Cameron released his Avatar release schedule.
Oh,
very so the next one's going to be in 2020, and he's going to do one a year up until 2025.
No, it's 2020, 2021, 2024, 2025.
Oh, you pips James to the news.
Yeah, you have, you son of a bitch.
That's right.
The very popular Avatar update segment of the Weekly Planet. That's why I tune in each week.
Sure. He's shifted these dates around a lot. Have you noticed that? Because like after Avatar, the first one, he was like, yeah, we'll give it 4 years and then it'll be out in 2014 or whatever. And then it just never, just didn't happen.
I reckon two more tops.
You reckon then they're going to stop?
I just, like, I don't see the world caring.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
Nobody did.
Yeah. And, like, for it to be like, and I feel like if they announce, like, 5 Matrix movies after the first Matrix and then release the 2 they did,
yeah,
everybody like, that'll do. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Enough. They sucked. What, stop pissing on the legacy of a movie we actually liked.
Sure, yeah.
But no one even liked the first Avatar
movie.
Yeah,
we've spoken
I would
about
say people liked it at the time.
Yeah, we spoke about it on the show. It's one of those things, it's had no cultural impact. You don't see people dressing up as the characters.
Yeah.
You don't see any, I mean, you probably see erotic fan fiction and stuff like that, but that's inevitable. But you don't, like, no, nobody's...
Surely you guys are big enough to have erotic fan fiction written about yourselves.
Oh,
there's been,
please, everybody, at me. If you don't tag them, tag me, at Levdog on Twitter. I want to see James and Meso erotic fan fiction in the Avatar universe.
Oh, that's even better.
5 movies worth, please.
There was a t-shirt release of like us in an embrace, and I don't know if it's meant to be erotic or not, but I'll find that one.
That's the only one I bought.
Of course, yeah.
But also, it's interesting that these movies are going to go up against Star Wars if they keep making Star Wars, because they're all mid-December.
No one likes those.
That's right. So, I mean, what if they're amazing? They could be, right? They could be.
But what do you build from?
Well, what happened at the end of the last one? The humans left...
I thought we were talking about Fast and Furious still.
No. Are we talking Avatar?
Star Wars.
I was going to say, what do you build on with Statham and The Rock? And I'm like, well, maybe they have a taco truck or something like that. Because you can't, if you're going to do a Fast and Furious spin-off, you can't just have them Fast and Furiousing about.
No, I guess
if
not.
If you bring that duo of Statham and The Rock into the Avatar universe, that's how you get me to watch Avatar, even though I'm not even on board for the Fast and Furious universe.
Hey, man, it's going to fix up that cord. Keep talking.
There's a cord problem?
Yeah, I can hear it clicking about.
Oh.
Now I'm tethered to mine. It's a real situation. There we go.
It's a good operation you've run here.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah, but look, James Cameron has a really good track record. Like, I wouldn't say he's made a terrible film. Maybe The Abyss, I don't know.
But I know, but like, you know, he certainly has made a close to terrible film, and that's the one that he's now making 5 of.
Sure.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, I don't love that movie, but it really, like, it's something to see when it came out. Like, it revolutionized things that we all hate now.
Sure. Well, I remember my wife, like, pitched the idea my girlfriend. She pitched it to me.
I thought you were going to bore at it, but that's...
I know, that was me. That was me trying to transcend.
I got it, Levins.
She pitched... I really did not want to see Avatar when it came out. And she pitched it to me saying, well, I feel like we have to see it and we may as well see it in IMAX 3D.
Sure, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Sydney had an IMAX cinema at that point. You know we don't anymore?
Really?
Did it burn down?
No, it's just been in They're fixing it or something, and they haven't been doing it for like over a year.
Oh, but they are bringing it back. They didn't just
hopefully in time for the Inhumans movies.
Oh, right. Yeah. November?
I don't know. It definitely won't be done by
We have something similar. It's our Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
They keep promising to fix that. And we just go there every Friday and Saturday night for a fun night out.
Is that fixed at the moment?
I don't know.
I can never remember.
Can we watch the Inhumans episodes on the Ferris wheel?
Yeah, yes. All good questions. Well, anyway, we should move on. Ridley Scott, he's James Cameron related, isn't he? I've kind of linked these, I guess. He said he's going to make Alien sequels forever, also until he dies. Same as James Cameron, that's their plan.
He's very close to death, though, isn't he?
He might be. He'd be mid 70s.
Who's
at
first?
Least.
Cameron or Scott?
Scott, surely.
Scott, definitely Scott. Yeah.
But he said he's not ruling out Sigourney Weaver returning as a de-aged Ripley.
I'm going to rule out Sigourney Weaver returning as a de-aged Ripley.
I think she'd do it.
Really?
But I don't know. Because I just saw her do a skit with Stephen Colbert where she reprises Ripley.
Okay, how about this? Sigourney Weaver's character dies at the end of Avatar, right. Is reborn in a different version of... No, the same version of the Aliens universe.
Yep.
Everyone thinks it's Ripley, but it's actually not. It's her character from Avatar.
Well, they could be the same universes. Isn't there like really loose links between like, well, there's mechs and whatnot. I don't know what else there is. Is there a corporation that crosses over? There's probably a corporation, right? Like a Weyland-Yutani?
There might be a Weyland-Yutani.
I don't know. I'm not watching Avatar again.
That feels like your area of expertise. That feels like, James, that's your wheelhouse.
Well, I didn't know I was going to bring that up. I didn't prepare.
10 things you missed in the brief.
But what do we got? Yeah, no, because... What's his name was going to do, the guy who did Elysium and District 9 and Chappie. He was going to do Alien 5, which was going to retcon Alien 3 and 4 with an older Ripley. Did you see the concept art for that?
Yes.
And it was going to happen. And because Chappie didn't do well, and that was also pushed back, so Ridley Scott could make Alien Isolation. So now it looks like Ridley Scott's just going to be the one who's going to make Alien films forever.
Until he dies, as we
until mentioned. He dies, yeah, 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 and then James Cameron will take over until he dies.
Are you sure? Like both of these guys, I feel like they're making these big promises based off of the fact that they won't be discouraged from critical panning.
Mm. Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
All it takes is one bad Avatar movie and one bad Aliens movie.
Yeah,
and I feel like I'd be like, oh, maybe that's enough.
But also, they're filming the Avatar films together. They're doing four at once. So that's a commitment. So it's kind of like, well, we've made them, so we should release them.
How much money do you think you have to never, ever question whether you're wrong or not, like in your entire life? Like if he releases the first three and
how much money does Trump have? That's your answer.
Yeah, it's that amount, yeah.
I don't listen to the Weekly Planet for politics.
Yeah, yeah, if you could keep a lid on it, mate.
I'm sorry, I apologise. I'm a big fan of his work.
Listen, I like you guys, but if you could keep the politics to a minimum.
I loved him in Home Alone too, but that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right. Do you think, after like three movies of critical panning, do you think he'd still be like, no, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. I'm in this artistic, like I'm really
it depends,
heading towards
like,
something.
Is he on the internet? Like, who knows? I think that would play
rich
a part.
Guys.
Yeah.
I would, if he managed to make all of his movies exist in the same universe and make just the most ridiculous James Cameron action movie starring like the old lady from Titanic, T2.
Yeah.
Reborn into the Alien universe or whatever.
Yeah. And then, yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Paxton plays all his characters from all the movies.
Oh, yeah, they have to get Pullman.
Yeah, they could get Pullman to replace him.
They'll do the Tarkin mocap and wipe his face. Cloak and Dagger.
That's right.
We all watched the trailer. I don't remember it. Levins, you just watched it. Give us the hottest.
I don't fucking remember.
Give us the hottest of take. Give us the hot take.
And this is going to be an ongoing theme for the next hour, I
sure.
feel. Like, this is a... Cloak and Dagger is a Marvel property that has never really been popular in the comics.
Yeah.
And I don't
We should point out as well, if people don't know, you do a podcast called Serious Issues, which is all comic-based. You review, is it every Wednesday or Tuesday it comes out?
Monday.
Yeah. I listen to it on Wednesday. Because
you have to edit this podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Which also comes out on Monday.
Yeah. Right. I'm in the clear. I don't have to edit nothing. Yes. So I'll listen to any kind of podcast.
Sorry, continue. Yeah.
But... Yeah, I mean, I feel like Cloak and Dagger, it has been this property that for whatever reason has been optioned for TV for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And they're finally, the Mad Men are finally doing it. Is it a Hulu series?
It's
Freeform.
Oh, wait, the other...
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. It's a company called Freeform.
Okay,
but
right.
Is it not going to Hulu though?
Potentially.
I think it's for Hulu,
okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Cloak is a dude who has a cloak and is a portal to
some sort of dark dimension, shadow dimension.
Doesn't he make darkness?
Yeah, he makes darkness.
And she makes
she make a light. She makes a light.
She has daggers of light. Yeah, okay. She can shoot at people, and she has like a dagger tit window.
Okay, fantastic.
She's all right, mate. And also, their secret origin is drugs.
That's right.
Yeah, which is weird.
Did they both do the drugs together, or did they do it separately?
No, they were experimented on.
Okay,
they didn't take the drugs for kicks.
I bring up the dagger tit window because there is an incredible indie comic artist whose name is Kate Beaton.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. And she has an incredible webcomic.
Hark of Vagrant.
That's right. Yeah. And a few other releases that she's done, but she did an incredible, like, I feel like she did like 10 to 20 panels about how ridiculous Dagger's costume is.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's like a, you know, extremely boobacious costume in which, for whatever reason, it her boobs form a dagger.
That sounds
with
very
her cleave
erotic.
Window.
Yeah.
It's and it's so stupid, and Kate Beaton makes fun of it in a very funny way. And I from the trailer, it doesn't look like we're going to get.
I was going to say, did we see that? Yeah.
Instead, we're just going to get
costume of any.
Yeah, but we're getting something we never get in superhero television shows, and that's really strong, like drawn out teen angst.
Oh, good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this being produced in the wake of Riverdale, I guess?
It feels very Riverdale.
Like it's just,
I'm still on board for Riverdale. I watch it every week.
Just beautiful teens they've got beautiful secrets and they're
they do, don't they? Yeah.
They're living on the streets, but the streets are beautiful, you know?
Certainly.
There's crime, but there's beauty as well.
If you love beautiful secrets, Mason, you'll love that The X-Files has been renewed for another 10 episodes.
I was gonna say I had another thought about Cloak and Dagger.
You can't. I've already moved on.
Because I just
Hey!
Cloak and Dagger.
The truth is out there.
Yeah, Cloak and Dagger connects with one of my favorite aspects of the Marvel universe, which is the Magia, which is the fake mafia. That they couldn't use for some reason in the 70s. They couldn't use the mafia anymore.
Because of the comics code.
Yeah, the comics code. So they just had to use the Magia.
Also, because they probably didn't want to get killed by the mafia.
Sure. Yeah, that's also an option.
Which they were probably like right next door to.
That's right. Yeah, it was them. It was Mad Magazine, and then it was the mafia.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so I'm crossing my fingers for the appearance of the head of the Magia, Silvermane, geriatric cyborg.
Yeah.
Have you ever read Superior Foes of Spider-Man?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it good?
Good. Yeah, real good. Real funny.
Better than the Clone Saga?
Infinitely.
Really?
How many Clone Sagas have there been since the 90s?
How many Clone Saga Netflix television series should there be?
None.
Good answer. Yeah, nice.
I want to say none. So yeah, X-Files. Did anybody watch the? I know you watched the last season. Did you watch the revival last year?
He was talking to Mason when he said,
yes.
"I know you watched it." I definitely have not. No.
Okay. I liked the one. There was one episode which was the comedy one.
Been a bigger fan of the non. There's always a very large epic story arc that I never fully understand.
Yeah.
And then there's some funny episodes, and I love the funny. In the last season, there was one with Rhys Darby, sort of a werewolf.
Lizard Man,
which was very good.
That sounds very appealing.
High point, but that's like episode 3 or 4, and then the rest is kind of...
My high point of X-Files, like, devotism was 1996.
What happened in that year? I don't remember.
I was in year 6, and I thought all of the bullshit they said on that show was fucking compelling.
And leading somewhere.
And so I spent a lot of money on X-Files VHSs, and I re-watched episodes.
Oh, really?
It was the most conspiracy-laden series where the cancer man was in every episode.
Yeah, that's right.
All that kind of stuff. And I think I really went all out that year, and then the next year it returned and I was like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I think I've burnt myself out on this. The cancer man's back though, even though I don't know if you saw the last episode, he was reduced to a skeleton.
Right.
And then he turned up in the new season and he pulled a bit of his face off and he's like, I'm here.
Blur.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's what they need. Dracula's. Was there a Dracula's episode?
Yeah,
I bet there was.
Dracula's,
I bet there was a funny
one.
Dracula's episode.
Wasn't there an episode where there was a shapeshifter who turned into a Dracula at one
Almost
point as well?
Yeah.
I might be thinking
I'm more interested because there's also going to be an Audible audiobook series or like a radio play series with Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
Oh, that sounds cool.
I would much rather see what they did with that medium as opposed to...
Do you think there's a bit more freedom with that maybe? Like you're restricted by budget also?
Yeah, but I also would maybe Director Skinner could do the narration or something like that. Mulder and Scully draw their weapons and they walk through the door and there's a Dracula!
Blair!
Blair!
This is kind of good news, I think. This has all been good news. This is all great.
Nobody's died this week.
No, that is good.
I mean,
good.
Yet. We'll check the news after. Maybe Ridley Scott's going to go.
That's right. Lock and Key got a pilot order for Hulu. Scott Derrickson, who did Doctor Strange, is going to direct the first episode. I think they already did a pilot for Lock and Key a few years ago, and it didn't go to...
No, it wasn't great.
Well, you watched it. Yeah. So it wasn't, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Lock and Key is one of my favorite series.
Great, yeah. Did you start the new run of it? You would have. Of course you did.
He just put out a one shot.
Oh, is that it?
Okay, yeah. So the two creators, what is it? I can't remember what it's Stephen King's son, whatever his alias is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Gabriel Rodriguez on art.
Mm.
And they do revisit it with one shots, I think almost once a year since they finished the series.
Cool.
But it's incredible. If it's like one of the very more successful horror comic books.
Absolutely.
That doesn't just rely on like gross shit happening.
It's
all the time,
not at all. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's more kind of tension and spooks.
Absolutely. But I'm very worried because Blairs on every page. I'm really worried about this adaptation because Gabriel Rodriguez, his artwork is very stylized and it's kind of like the main reason I love the book because it's so awesome. But I'm really worried that a TV producer is going to be like, cool, look at this artwork. Everyone in this show is going to be emo.
We need some beautiful teens.
Yeah. Exactly.
If we could.
Also, I remember some of the splash pages from that. There's like, you know, there's people that have wings and there's giants and like a lot of stuff they can't do.
Oh, I know. Look, we're going to get into this later.
Okay.
The special effects budget is often what holds these great comics back from being good adaptations. And that always is a fear factor in the back of my mind.
Yeah, sure. That's the joy of comic books is that there's an unlimited special effects budget. If you've got a good artist, then
exactly.
you can have the beginning and end of universes. You can have an infinite number of dimensions. But TV, you need to...
Bloody rein it in, mate.
You need to, if you could rein it in.
Can you turn your mic a little bit this way?
Yes, I'm a professional.
That's all right.
What about now?
That's because when you talk to Levins, I can barely hear you. No, you know what? Just don't talk to Levins.
Okay, cool.
Talk to me and I'll relay
all right, great.
The
if you could.
I'll talk to the dog.
Yeah.
The Mississippi Grind directors, Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, they're going to be directing Captain Marvel. I've not seen that movie.
What is that movie?
I have no idea.
That is Ryan Reynolds and Mendo, I think.
Great combo.
Benny Mendy. Yeah, Benny Mendy.
What is the movie about?
I will check.
Gambling.
Coffee?
I think,
The hottest roast. let me have a look.
It's just about 9 to 5, you know. I think it's a couple of gamblers who go cross country for one big old score.
Yeah.
Or I'm wrong.
Convinced that his newfound friend, Ryan Reynolds, is a good luck charm, a gambling addict, Ben Mendelsohn, take the man on a road trip for high stakes game of poker in New Orleans.
That would be such a good movie if they were playing themselves.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You better believe it.
Ryan, we're gonna go down the coast, Ryan.
I've got kind a poem for you.
It'd be more kind of a Rick and Morty situation. Yeah. That's how I'm picturing it.
We're gonna get the coast,
I gotta
get Deadpool off the ground.
I don't know, Mendo.
No, that sounds sure. It's got 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that necessarily means anything, but that seems as good as any.
Yeah. That was kind of overshadowed by The Nice Guys, which was Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Which
Ryan
Gosling.
Made zero money as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm.
That made zero money.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't do well.
Pretty good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah, you said it was your favorite movie of the year.
It might have been. Yeah,
you didn't say that. Maybe you did.
Like something I would say.
Sure.
I'll just go with anything.
They killed too many sex workers. IMO.
That's just your opinion. we got some X-Men release dates for movies.
Oh, wait, did we have any thoughts about Captain Marvel?
Oh, yeah. the movie sounds... I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, so if you are reading any Marvel book right now, you know that they have pretty much destroyed any likability of that character.
Yeah.
So they kind of did this around the time that the first Iron Man movie came out too. Because this first Civil War movie... You know, he was the bad guy, essentially. Civil War comic book series, I mean, he was the bad guy. And so the movie came out shortly after that. And we got Matt Fraction's incredible Iron Man run out like immediately after that.
Mm.
So hopefully we get a similar, very good Captain Marvel run soon. But it's not looking good.
You're not a fan of like the status quo of being like, when a movie comes out, then they're like, Spider-Man number one, he's back. And what do you think about any of that? I mean, it's an inevitability.
I don't care about renumbering. I just care about the story being good first and foremost. And it's very rare that mirroring what's happening on the TV or on the movies is good for a book.
Yeah, fair point.
Mm.
Fair point.
Is it good in The Ultimates?
Ultimates is a good book.
Okay, cool. All right. Actually, I'm trying to look for a new series that's been and gone and has wrapped up.
Oh, she's great in Spider-Woman.
Okay.
Dennis Hopeless did an incredible run with Jamie Rodriguez and Victoria Fish. Uh-huh. Vanessa Fish? Something. No, I think I'm messing up with Vanessa
Fish. Fish and Hopeless.
But yeah, that recently ended and it's an incredible run in which Spider-Woman has a baby.
Oh.
And
she can have it all.
And her best mate is Captain Marvel. And even like while the rest of the Marvel Universe was shitting all over Captain Marvel, she was still very good in that book.
Okay cool. Mm. All right. Okay, X-Men, what do we got here? New Mutants release date for that movie, April 13th, 2018. Then a few months later, June 1st. 1 month later, Deadpool 2. And then X-Men The Dark Phoenix in November. These are all next year. Three wow. X-Men movies. What... They sound, some of them sound good, and then there's a Dark Phoenix one.
Yeah, right?
What do you guys...
Well, I mean, you're at this weird point in time where I feel like both of us, like all three of us, I mean, and the dog, we ended last year going like, well, I mean, we were all on board for the Deadpool movie, but they also put out X-Men Apocalypse, which I know none of us liked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then, like, this year has been this bizarre thing where, like, Logan Resurgence. Was excellent, and Legion especially was just like this... out of nowhere, incredible series.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I guess I have faith in Fox. Maybe
some of these will be good.
There's somebody in a Hollywood boardroom with a whiteboard, and they've got the letters L, go. G, and N, and they're trying to come up with more words that fit in because they're like, that's the secret. That's the secret to a quality film. L space G space N. But what do we put in there? Does anybody have any more words?
I think the secret is a vision, like an idea of what they want to do with it, not just a generic X-Men team movie. Is that the secret?
Could be the secret, yeah.
Yeah.
Lotion.
Lotion, yeah. Oh.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
Great. This is somewhat controversial. I don't want to upset anybody, so just brace yourselves.
I'm going to block the dog's ears.
She has to hear this.
Okay, cool.
Will Smith is apparently in talks for the role
Wild of the... Wild West 2.
In talks for the role of the genie for the Aladdin film. So that will be a live-action remake of the one from the 90s where Robin Williams took on that role. So,
well, I can step away from this because, as you know, I've never seen any of those films. Yeah. I don't care.
Yep.
They can do what they like.
Can he do blue
maybe
face?
Maybe he can do some more raps.
Well, yeah. Well,
Levins, you like raps.
Yeah, Levins.
Talk us through raps.
I miss the days where Will Smith did a song for every one of his movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of our listeners was very kind enough to mock up like a fake album called The Pursuit of Rappiness, which featured all the raps that Will Smith would have done in all his subsequent movies after, I don't know, Wild Wild West.
You should put it on your Twitter.
I'll put it on.
Put a bloody back up there.
All right.
What do you think about that?
Well, I've seen all the animated joints. So I've not seen any of the... I haven't seen Jungle Book. I haven't seen Beauty and the Beast. All these new remakes they're doing. Are any of them good?
Yes. I would say most of them are good. Anyone that's not a gritty reboot, like Alice in Wonderland or whatever. Cinderella's great.
Burton's not gritty. That's just...
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Whatever that was. Cinderella's great. Jungle Book, I liked. It's more of a kind of... felt like it was a tech demo.
Right.
And apparently Beauty and the Beast is amazing, which I have not seen. I've heard that. But I've also heard it's fine. So make of that what you
will.
But
it's made $1 billion.
Yeah, so. That's right.
I think I know that the stage show of Aladdin has a black actor playing the genie.
Right, yeah.
Like that's just kind of how it's done. In fact, I only know that because on the way here, I passed a tram stop that had a poster for the Aladdin musical, and it was a black actor playing the genie.
Okay, so do you think they're not going to do like a CGI mocap thing? Do you think it's just going to be Will Smith in a little hat?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In a cool blue suit. I think that's how they do it in the stage show.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, they're really just going for broke with these remakes,
absolutely
aren't they?
They are,
like it's going to be a genre unto itself.
They're
going
to get to Hercules and then be like,
Hercules is actually really good.
I don't mind Hercules, and I love Treasure Planet. So I think there are some good ones.
I stand by Hercules is a real good watch and one that you would enjoy, man.
Yeah. Okay,
because it's like the most straight comedy that they've done.
Oh, great! Yeah.
James Woods is the devil,
and with incredible hair.
Yeah,
he's got blue flame hair.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's great.
I get the sense that in a lot of cases the villains are better than the heroes in these. More interesting.
Yeah, Jafar's pretty good. Yep, Scar. Yep, you're making good points, Mason, for these movies you haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's smart here, though, not to... I can't remember where I heard this. Maybe it was on Collider. I don't know. Where they're not just going for a Robin Williams impersonator. They're getting a known actor who's very charismatic, who can, I guess, sing. And then, you know, doing that instead of being like, who's a guy who can do a lot of voices? Do you know what I mean? I think it's a smart-ish move.
After Moana, I'm surprised they didn't go for The Rock as the genie. He would be quite good, and he has a good singing voice.
Someone else said...
Oh, he's got it all.
He does, doesn't he?
He's got an upcoming spin-off coming out with Jason Statham.
Yes, he does. Very exciting.
Oh, it's Mary Poppins.
They're doing that at the moment.
Really?
Sequel with Emily Blunt.
Who would play what?
Jason Statham's the chimney sweep.
It'd have to be.
Yeah.
You don't think they'd flip it and they make The Rock do the Cockney accent?
Because
Dick Van Dyke isn't British.
James, how could The Rock fit down a chimney? He couldn't. He's too big.
You know what? You're all right. You know what you're doing. Yeah. Krypton trailer teaser. I saw a leaked one, then I couldn't find it again. And there's also a teaser of a planet unexploding.
So this is a sci-fi series, like, yes. As in the S-Y-F-Y.
Yes. Mm. Which ones did you guys see?
I saw the unexploding planet trailer.
I saw one that was boring.
Interesting.
Could be one and the same. We don't know. Let's unpack it.
There were no teens in mine.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no one at all.
I saw the one with people in it, and it was like his grandpa was, because it's about Kal-El's grandfather, whose name I can't remember. And he's like, this is our story, Chad Clark. L. Yeah, Chad L.
Rob L.
Yeah. Which, so I don't know whether he's doing vlogs for his son. I don't know what's because going on there.
Twitch stream.
Yeah. The version that I saw where he's narrating, this is the last son of Krypton, and this isn't about his life. This isn't about the destruction of our planet. This is about the life of our planet.
Mm.
Who's he narrating that to? And how did he know? If he's the last, maybe he's a crystal. It might be a crystal, right? It could be a crystal.
Yeah, you're answering all your own questions.
It could be a crystal. I'm sorry. I was so dumb there. It's a crystal narrating the history of Krypton.
And it looks kind of Man of Steel, sort of.
Well, so I've shit on Man of Steel many, many times.
Sure, I don't know if I've heard.
On my other podcast, Hey Fam. Mm. But one of the few things I loved about Man of Steel was Russell Crowe's depiction of Jor-El.
Agreed.
And the, you know, the weird Kryptonian technology in that. So it shows up in the ship.
The pinboard faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that very dangerous planet he's from where there's no railings.
There's no railings or anything.
You can leap into a computer.
It's
underwater.
If you want to get to your local watering hole, you have to leap onto a sort of flying disc platform and just hope for the best.
Call for a dragonfly and then you're off.
It sounds like you guys have talked over this movie before.
We have.
Oh, that was a tough watch.
I like it until the end. I'm pretty much on board. I don't like, you know, I'm not going to do it.
I hate that character.
All right. What else we got here?
Are you excited for that? Sorry.
I will give anything a go. Like the trailer, the one that I saw, the fuller length one, I was like, this looks okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not against it. But a lot of these, there's so many of these adaptations for television and most of them are just okay. So most of them I just stopped watching. Like I stopped watching Arrow and... I watch Riverdale though.
I think this is going to, for me, it's going to be highly contingent on how much of the world they show us and how much clearly budget is preventing them showing us what the costumes look like.
Sure, yeah.
If they look ridiculous on their day to day, I don't know if I'm going to be able to take it on board.
Probably a lot of tunics.
Yeah, if there's good costuming, they just have a whole bunch of leftover Man of Steel costumes, that looks pretty good. But if everything is set in like some sort of Kryptonian boardroom because they can't show us
the
hostile Kryptonian landscapes and the platforms and the thing, then I don't know if I'll be on board.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Also, like, this is a planet that we know explodes, so how many series can we possibly get?
Well, he's young, so...
Who's young?
The grandfather.
Oh, it's so, that far back, right.
So 70 odd.
Yeah, right.
He's great.
Yeah.
And you can also have, you know, you can have a whole bunch of series cliffhangers and in the next episode... Somebody's just like, oh, saved it.
Yeah.
Saved it. I used a crystal.
Yeah, but so I guess
Krypton's safe again.
This is a Krypton that isn't like about to, like, you know, that isn't slowly destructing.
No.
We're going to see Krypton in its heyday.
I think so, yeah.
And I think that's not interesting.
Right, yeah.
But there's going to be some Zod family rivalry, it looks like.
Oh, that sounds very Riverdale.
Yeah,
though,
absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. A bunch of other stuff probably.
Yeah. He's too...
Plugging holes with crystals.
Exactly. Zod will have two like redheaded... twin children who are just sexy teens.
But I think there'd be a really good opportunity to show like a war with Brainiac and like Doomsday's creation, even though it doesn't, not really that time period. But there's stuff you could do. It's not like Gotham, which a lot of people do love, where it's just like, this is the Joker. Or they've just started just putting all the villains in regardless of
time. I guess, Levins, you're right. It's the least interesting period in Krypton's history.
But I just made a good point, Mason.
Nah, you didn't. It's the least interesting bit, and it's like, it's where they didn't have, like, they didn't go out into space anymore because they're convinced that they're the center of the universe kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's going to be political intrigue, isn't it? I like that.
All right, I'm on board. We're all on board. Good.
All right, great.
Joss Whedon says that he doesn't have his eye on anybody.
Oh, no, what's Joss Whedon saying again?
He doesn't have an eye on anybody in particular for Batgirl, and he doubts that who he'll hire will have a name. Like, I mean, as in a famous name.
Yeah. Right. <That's> great.
Just a symbol. But
really quick credits.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I like that. I think that's I think being open to that is good, as opposed to getting like maybe a known actor who might not fit necessarily. Mm. Yeah. And it might be smart because from the perspective of, if you get somebody famous like Emma Watson.
Or Josh Brolin.
There might be people like, that's not how I envisioned it. So maybe this is the way you kind of sidestep exactly. that. Yeah.
Josh Brolin. Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Sam Elliott. Yep. Anyone in No Country for Old Men.
No, how good would it be if the same actor played Thanos, Cable, and Batgirl? Yeah,
right. Amazing. So that's not good or bad news. It's news, though, isn't it? It's got one more bit of thing, and then we'll go into another thing. Is everyone okay with that?
I'm okay with this.
Okay, good. Mm. Rian Johnson revealed why he changed Kylo Ren's scar, because if you looked in the trailer closely, if anybody missed one of these 10 things... The scar is over his eye.
It's teeny weeny.
I looked at your video, but you put a big red arrow over his face.
I changed it because somebody beat me to that.
And that was like, a joke. I haven't watched
it. Oh, really? That's what I actually did. That's what I actually did for like the first hour. But
you can be effectively parodied now, you son of a bitch.
I know. But the scar went up through his nose.
Yeah.
So, and he basically said it looks stupid.
Well, that's right. Ray's just straight up shoved a lightsaber up his nostril.
Yeah.
Goes all the way up there.
Yeah. So there you go. That's news, isn't it? Let me just check if I've missed anything. Mississippi Grind. We talked about that.
Google news.google.com.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm. I've got out of the habit as well of at the end of the show, Google, like checking news, but maybe someone remind me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now, Levins, we were going to do a superhero showdown today, but you vetoed.
So I didn't veto.
All the people.
All the guests have an unknowing veto power.
But I thought this is like your most beloved segment that people hate you for not ever bringing back.
That's fine.
It's not my fault, listeners.
No, I like this. So, but basically, everybody who's sent in wonderful suggestions.
We'll do it next week, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is out next week.
But not in the US, so we might push that back a week.
Okay. But if tune in to Hey Fam, because we don't give a fuck. We'll be able to review it on that.
Whoa.
These guys are rogue. But you sent a comment to me. You said that comic book adaptations, I presume you mean television and movies.
Yeah.
Is that right? Are never as good radio as the original plays. Radio plays. Are never as good.
Audible.
As, shut up. Are never
shut
as
up.
Good.
You
as,
shut up.
Are never as good as the source material. And you're not talking just like League of the Extraordinary Gentlemen is bad. You're talking like anything. Like even the ones considered great.
Yeah, I wanted to challenge you guys.
Yeah.
Because I love comics. Obviously, like, you know, I talk about them every single week for hours.
Sure.
I read way too many of them.
Yeah.
I think they're the best art form. Mm. And my challenge to you was to name an adaptation of a comic book
yep.
that you think is better than the comic book.
So not even as good.
We can start with as good. I mean, you're already back.
I've got a loose list. But also,
got there on his laptop. It's just try and convince Levins that as good works, and that's his gambit. And he's like,
settle for less.
Yeah.
So, and
I have two in my mind that I think are
okay,
and I'm curious to see if you guys can get to them.
I think I might be able to. But you're not also. I'm presuming you don't mean like. Batman Begins isn't a straight adaptation of Year One. You're talking like direct.
Okay, so this makes me sound like I'm negative on all comic book related movies and properties and stuff like that. I think like the superhero movies, they're bigger than very rarely will you see a superhero movie that's been directly adapted from the one particular comic book.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think something like Batman Begins, the Superman movies, or pretty much all the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Give or take one or two. They're kind of built off of the many stories
right.
in the pantheon of or stories about those characters.
Or they're in name only.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So none of those.
I mean, we can use, there are specific examples that we can single out within them. But like, I mean, you know, for example, like the Lock and Key announcement.
Yeah.
There was a big announcement for one of my favorite Vertigo series, Scalped by Jason
Aaron.
Oh,
okay. I didn't know that.
That's been turned into a series for AMC, I think, quite soon. Yeah, I mean, you know, I know you hate The Walking Dead.
I do.
TV show, but the comic book is still really fun.
I can 100% agree.
Yeah.
Well, that was my first example, but no, it wasn't. I thought, okay, what about this? Not all of these also, I believe, are better, but I just thought we'd just throw them out there.
Let's do it.
Okay, so 300. I don't think that comic is great.
Haven't read it. Haven't seen it.
Mason, what do you think?
Look, I'm going to vote for yes. Episode's over. Victory. Like the Spartans of old, we claim victory. And Levins, we kick you into this pit that we've had here for several hundred episodes. We've never mentioned it before.
I wonder what you're going
to
do with
the
that.
Pits. James, get the hand cranked camera. We're going to kick him into the pit in slow motion.
Have you read it?
Yes, I have, yeah.
And you've obviously seen it.
Yeah.
Do you think it's better or the same?
Look, I think it's...
This is like the ultimate like Snyder defense. Like it's the butt 300.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true. Frank Miller hasn't slipped totally into madness at that point. I don't.
There's
think.
A few so little it's still, things, but
it's still yeah. competently put together. I think.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but I think I genuinely think, and look, maybe it'll be different if it was made today. But at the time, like no, that hadn't really been done before. Like that style of filmmaking and like the panel for panel stuff. And it's got some great action sequences, you know.
And it wasn't quite historical fiction, but it wasn't.
It was David Wenham weaving a yarn, mate.
That's right, with great abs.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't quite supernatural madness, but it wasn't. It was this bizarre midpoint, which I quite enjoyed.
The prequel, sequel.
I've never come back
shit.
To it, but
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's not good. I haven't seen it in a while.
That's a good place to start with. We can actually go through all of the... Because pretty much all of Frank Miller's big comics have been turned into
Absolutely,
movies or
yeah.
TV shows or mm-hmm.
Are we
animated
talking,
movies.
Do we want to talk animated as well?
Of course,
we'll
yeah. yeah.
In there? Okay, cool. Akira.
Jeez, all right.
I haven't read it. I don't know.
I mean, I've read the first book of the anime. Sorry, of the manga, I mean.
Yeah.
But that's a long, sprawling epic.
I haven't read it. I don't know.
Akira, the anime, is, I think, incredible insofar as they've gotten these literally thousands of pages of manga and turned it into a competently produced...
You know what? I'm going to veto this just on the basis manga never counts.
Yeah,
you
know, that's
in anything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Take that, uh-huh. huge manga fans.
Manga's great, but it never counts.
Take that, wow. Siobhan, if you're listening.
Yeah, every week she tries to read manga.
Levin's co-host, Siobhan.
And then every month I'm like, maybe this will be the month that I read manga. Nope. Next.
Yeah, Akira, like the anime is quite truncated. Like they take up a whole bunch of the back end.
Sure.
So like the first volume is a significant chunk of it. It's a testament to the movie that they got as much in as they did.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm.
Doesn't count.
But
though.
We're not counting it. So.
But you mentioned Frank Miller. So well, what are you talking about? From Hell.
Oh, God. Okay, well, that definitely...
I haven't read it, but
also,
I have
that's
seen
not
the
Frank Miller.
Yeah, that's Alan Moore.
Oh, sorry, you're right, it is Sir, yeah. I get them confused because they're very similar
in
every
Frank
way.
Miller, from DC, we've got the animated movies of Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Yeah, wait.
Sorry, Dark Knight Returns.
Yes. Yep.
They have not yet made Dark Knight Strikes Again, and I doubt they ever will.
Oh, I hope they do. That would be nuts.
But actually is nowhere near as bad as everyone says they
are. It's fine. The art's really quite bad, though.
It's funny.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
You guys would know, but I do not know. Has Dark Knight 3, is it finished?
It's still going. Horrifically bad.
I don't know if it would be so horrific because I don't remember the last one. It's always like 4 months in between. The art's okay, isn't it?
The art's great. Cuban's doing a great job. Yeah. But
I'd have to read it as like a... to get. I don't know.
And isn't the idea being that Frank Miller has done this in conjunction with someone else.
Brian Azzarello.
There we go. And Dark Knight 4 is going to be all him, right?
Allegedly. Yeah, and the rumor is that apparently this one's just all Azzarello.
Mm.
Based off a conversation he had with Miller.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right. Yeah.
All right.
But he
let the phone go.
Yeah.
And while he wrote it himself. Yep, good work, Frank. Good work, buddy.
We've also got the Year One animated movie. We've got the Sin
City
movie.
Which is atrocious, in my opinion.
It's just boring.
Yeah.
That's one of my, whenever someone recommends Batman comics or, superhero comics in general, you always inevitably get the combination of Year One, Dark Knight Returns, and The Killing Joke.
I don't think The Dark Knight Returns is a good one to start on.
No, it's a shocking one. Yeah. Year One is like, I think it's an absolute classic that still holds up, no matter how many more, subversive Batman comics you read. It's still so well done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that.
And the animated series was like at the peak of the DC animated branch trying to do anime-style animation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited because Bryan Cranston was announced.
That's right.
It was really good. Benjamin McKenzie's not Gordon. A great choice for...
That's the biggest weakness is Batman's voice.
I also think that Batman Year One has a lot of dialogue that does not translate to voice work and animation.
Sure, and that absolutely goes for Dark Knight as well.
That goes for a lot of comics though.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I can read the most ridiculously serious thing. But because I choose the tone that I read it in when I read a comic book, I can make it come through in a way that I'm fine with.
Sure, yeah.
But then as soon as someone delivers that dialogue or delivers that narration in a movie or a TV show, they've locked into that's the tone that this series is taking.
Ben McKenzie just did Donald Duck voice the whole time.
I think The Dark Knight Returns is pretty solid.
Really
as
solid
an animation.
I agree. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's better, but it's pretty good. Yeah.
We've also got the Sin City movies. The first movie I thought was real sick when I was just out of high school.
Sure, yeah.
Have not revisited. Probably shouldn't.
Yeah, right.
I haven't read it, so I can't compare it.
They're very. Well, I have again. It's a comic book series that when you read it, when it's like one of the first 10 comic books you read it, you think it's the most incredible thing ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just gritty.
So it might be better.
Yeah. The jury's out.
Okay.
Let's just call it manga and say it doesn't count.
You said you saw the second one?
I have not seen the second one.
No, me neither.
No one has.
It's on your iPad.
I have it on my iPad as like emergency content. If I run out of everything else to watch or read in the entire world, I've got Sin City, A Dame to Kill For on my iPad just in case.
You say, I could either do that or run into traffic.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's great. Any more Frank Miller stuff that we want to...
Well, in terms of Frank Miller directed, he did The Spirit on his own, which is...
We only got like 10 minutes in
that. We only got 10 minutes in that one. We watched that.
Incredible cast. Samuel L. Jackson, Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy from Suits.
Yeah, that's right. Gabriel Marx.
That is his name. Okay. Yeah.
And that it's so terrible in the sense that it's... He was just like, I can do it on my own. But he took The Spirit, who was, it was a series that sort of pioneered sort of incredible panel layouts and just incredible, just breaking the mold of comic books. Not just like, here's 9 boring panels in a row. Just, comics are a medium where you can do anything.
Exactly,
and they went, just make it look like Sin City again.
Yeah,
it's the thing. It's like The Spirit isn't a gritty hero at all. It's pure pulp.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It completely lost that in the, 5 minutes of that movie I watched. Actually, Frank Miller...
He does purely pulp a guy really long time, very early on, but that's about it.
You could say that the first Daredevil movie The one that everyone hates.
Yeah, yeah.
With Ben Affleck as Daredevil. Frank Miller, I think, himself is in that movie.
He is the priest.
I think he dies in all the movies that he has cameos in.
Yeah, if only that would translate to real life. It's all right, I'm sure it's fine. I think for that time, it was as good as it was going to be, that Daredevil movie. Like, I don't think it's amazing. It's not better than anything it's based on, but it was the leather suit X-Men era.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It is what it is, man. Like, and the director's cut is not better. I know a lot of people say it is. They're about the same. One has more Coolio.
Adding Coolio is not gonna. It's not a guarantee of quality.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's aggressively nowhere near as good as the comics.
Yeah,
is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. I don't disagree
and
with
I
you.
I would also go as far as
Kevin Smith's best work.
Netflix series still not as good as the Daredevil comics.
Yep, no, I'd agree with that. Yep. Well, what else we got? I can name some other things.
Please do.
Kick-Ass.
Oh yeah, you know what? You're wrong. No, I don't know.
Oh man.
Kick-Ass 2 is terrible.
Agreed. You hate that.
The series is terrible too. But the first movie I think is really fun in a way that the comic book maybe wasn't when it still came out.
Sure. Do you think it falls off the cliff with the jetpack? the movie, not the comic. There's no jetpack in the movie.
And also
comic.
You can't fall off a cliff if you're in a jetpack.
Yeah, correct. True.
You fly off into the horizon.
At the end, he gets a jetpack with a minigun attached, and he riddles the mob bosses.
I think in the comic book series, at the end they just take a bunch of coke and beat each other up.
That's right.
But
the comic book's definitely better.
Yeah, yeah. In the movie, he buys a jetpack with miniguns on it on the internet, and he just shows up and he machine guns everyone.
You know what else is
a little bit odd?
You know what else is a lot better from the comic? The Big Daddy character in the comic is just a psychopath. Well, not
Agreed.
Even. He's just an accountant who invents his tragic backstory so that him and his daughter can go and beat up mob bosses.
It's a way more compelling story.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's kind of adds a whole new element to this guy. Like, he's crazy. But in the movie, he's just like
a cop on the edge. Yeah,
who got hard done by. Which I don't think is... I mean, Nicolas Cage did a great job.
Yeah, incredible job.
But it's not as interesting. But... And I think they just didn't want to make him unsympathetic. So that's maybe why they changed that. But...
Hollywood, man.
Yeah. You know it.
Mm. Probably shouldn't have cast Nicolas Cage then if they wanted to make him sympathetic.
What are your thoughts on Civil War comparatively to the
comic? This is one of the this is the ones that I would consider. So Mark Millar as a writer in general, I think a lot of his books when I was younger and hadn't read many comics, I thought they were the best thing ever.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't want to take away from that. I guess
it's too late. You have, but come on.
What, sorry,
you already have.
Yeah, totally. But rereading a lot of those things, like, you know, the first time I read Civil War, I was like, man, this is what comic book events should be.
Yeah.
And then you realize that inspired so many versions of the comic book event, which was like, oh, the heroes are going to fight each other now.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And we're finally getting that on the big screen.
Yeah.
Although heroes fighting for a while, that's an essential element of the comic book.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a comic book trope.
For a third.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
When they first meet each other.
Correct.
Then they're good friends. Then they beat the bad guy together.
That's right.
That's right.
But I think Civil War is like maybe my favorite Marvel movie.
Okay, yeah.
Alongside the first Iron Man movie.
Yep, yeah.
I think, it's better than the comic, even though it's nothing like the comic. You couldn't really count it as a proper adaptation, but it does share the name and I guess the same kind of sentiment.
The same
idea.
The same captains of each team.
Yep.
Correct. That. Yeah.
Yes.
But no, it doesn't. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't have a lot in common with I guess the Accords, there's that, and then they fight. There's not the Winter Soldier element of it. Spoilers for all this, by the way.
I would be very surprised if anyone listening has not seen Civil War.
That was for Mason. Because half of these
not seen them.
Civil War.
you famously play a character that has not seen anything with war in the title.
That's right, exactly. I'm afraid of it. Oh, which reminds me, I was on a episode of Steel Wars. I'll insert the plug right here. Why wouldn't I?
Why not?
If you listen this far, stop listening to this.
Yeah.
I was on our friend Steel Saunders is doing a live Steel Wars of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I was on with Jonathan Schuster and George Lucas.
Himself.
Was on there.
Direct from Adelaide Food Court.
That's right. And spoiler alert for that, at some point, we were going to discuss the Last Jedi trailer. At some point, he does get a little bit tired of discussing that and starts talking about his other hobby, which is hunting humans on his ranch. So listen in for that.
He's very funny.
Yeah,
who's the guy who does that? He's real George Lucas.
It's George Lucas.
It's J.J. Abrams.
It's George Lucas, but his friend Xavier Michaelides is very funny.
Right, okay, gotcha.
Maintain the magic, everyone.
Good work.
Yeah.
Do you think the Civil War comic is better than the...
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. What about Watchmen?
I think a lot of stuff that came out of Civil War, like the comic book is great, like the Captain America run, where if you'd said to anyone 10 years ago, we're going to have a Captain America comic book, it's going to run for several years without Captain America in it.
Mm.
You'd be like, "No, that's madness. Why how could you do that and why would you do that?" But
They did it. And it happened.
Mm-hmm.
With Watchmen, it's clearly not better.
No.
It's not a fair shot. Also, they're talking about an animated series.
I don't want to see that either. I guess, like, I would be more interested in them. Like, I know people, like, are disgusted at the very thought of this. But, like, you know, comic book readers are very aware of the characters within the Watchmen series now. And they have done the before Watchmen stuff. Mm. They're about to do new stuff with the Watchmen characters in the DC universe.
The button.
My greatest enemy. The button. I gotta call my friend Flash to help me solve the mystery of the button.
You do a good Batman. That's pretty good.
It's actually a really good issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I've been making fun of it for like weeks. It's actually, I was like, oh, wow, this is great.
If we don't know anything, if we only know the bare bones of what's happening there, do I need to catch up on Batman or The Flash?
You need to have read the DC Rebirth special.
Okay, I've read that.
And you need to have read Flashpoint.
Okay, yeah.
And I think based off of those two, you should be fine.
Okay, good.
And also, you need to know what a button is.
We know that, don't we?
Yeah, I've seen
it. Yeah, we're good.
We call it a badge in Australia.
What about Road to...
Wait, we're going to finish talking about Watchmen.
Okay. It's no good. The end.
You don't think it's good, on any level?
It's one of the most fascinating, incredible, can't put it down comics.
Yep.
It's a comic that I've lent my dad. It's a comic that I proudly...
Your dad's lent you. Exactly. You switched.
He forgot.
He's such big fans. Yeah.
I find that movie so fucking boring.
Wow, really? Even when you first saw it, you went like, oh, there's some good imagery.
Okay, well, all right. Disclaimer. There was a real great time in the mid-2000s where I got an iPod that could play videos. But this is before the iPods had the screens as big as iPhones. It was instead a little window.
Yeah, I remember.
And a DJ friend of mine from the States, he was touring and he was like, hey, I've got a whole bunch of iPod movies. And he put a whole bunch on there. And one of them was Watchmen.
Bloody Watchmen.
And so I watched Watchmen for the first time on a screen smaller than like my fingers. I
mean,
like,
right.
Like an elbow size screen.
And you loved it?
It wasn't boring at all. No, okay. I guess I have seen it since then.
Yeah.
I just, like, there are moments of pretty okayness in it, but it's one of the greatest comics ever written.
And
it should be a lot better than Pretty Okay.
Sure.
And I feel like maybe adapting, again, it's that language that we are so used to reading in our own heads. When you see someone commit to, no, this is how that language is said.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's like, you have like, oh no, that's not how I imagined it said in my head.
Yeah, right.
And so it really pulls you out of what you want the story to be. But I think, you know, we're so used to these characters now that if they do something with The Watchmen, if they have to, you know, I understand why you would want to do something with this property that, you know, DC, unfortunately for all Alan Moore diehard, you know, wizard fans, you know, they own that property. They can do whatever the fuck they want
No
matter what fans say.
And so, they've offered it back to him multiple times at this point. Like, if you'll write us one page of something and we'll give you Watchmen back. And he's like, nope, won't do it. Gonna live in my cave.
Yeah.
Don't care anymore.
Cast a spell on your chakras.
I think you might be right in the sense that also, like, also, some of the you have a certain idea of how maybe the action sequences go as well, and Snyder's got that very, very visceral kind of, because they're supposed to be normal, more or less normal people having fights with normal people, and it's these people made out of granite who are throwing each other through walls and bouncing people's heads off like tables and stuff, and they're getting up and up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Moore, like, even though it is quite a gritty and dark comic, it's still extremely silly and comic booky.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, like, I love the ridiculous explosion beast thing
that
all the world's best artists are sent to a island to create.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
That's one of my favorite parts of the Watchmen comic, because they build towards that for the entire thing. And it's like, you know, you only get like one or two pages of it in each issue. And then that's why they were including that part, that, you know, the weird backup story and all that stuff. It all is part of this big story they're working towards. And for it to just be just a boring explosion in the movie.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like that because it's way more realistic, but I read comic books.
Yeah.
I like comic books because they're ridiculous.
Yeah, and also that movie did have the comic book does have Ozymandias as this very charming, charismatic, sympathetic character who turns out to be the villain. And in the movie, he's this close to like cackling in the shadows.
Yeah, excellent. Like the outfit, everything. Like it's and he put nipples on it.
My favorite thing about superhero movies.
Yeah, that's
very good. Did anyone see Road to Perdition or read the comic?
No,
I've seen it.
I've never read the comic.
I saw the trailer and then years later learnt that it was a comic book adaptation. I was like, what?
So it's a manga. It's out.
Is it manga? Or is it really?
No. I don't think so. But it's got bloody Tom Hanks and
Daniel Craig's in it.
Daniel Craig and Paul Newman. It's a good cast.
There you go.
Mm. Anyway. I don't know.
Jury's out, everybody.
Yeah. What about V for Vendetta? I don't think it's better, but I love V for Vendetta, the movie. I think it's great. Yeah. What anyone else?
I watched it on a plane years ago.
Have you seen a movie on anything bigger?
I refuse to watch movies in the movies.
Look, I saw this one reflected on my boots. I had a very well shined boot. I upskirted this particular movie, and I did not care for it.
I had the plot of this movie repeated to me from an inmate in a jail cell I was in. I guess it's okay, the movie.
Yeah, I genuinely think it's better than okay. I think it's really solid. It does take there's elements that are missing from it because it's a comic and you can interpret it, like you said, how you want and hear whatever voice you want when you read it. You don't know who V is. But in this one, he's just like...
It's Hugo Weaving.
It's Hugo Weaving and there was an experiment. But in the comic, it's implied that it could be six or so people or whatever.
Infinitely better than League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Which is classic in every way. But yeah. But no, I don't think it's better, but I think it definitely stands on its own. And Mason thinks that I'm...
on Twitter.
Yeah, you sure are. Yeah, look, I don't know. I think they decided it was... They were like, well, let's update it for modern times. It's Bush, it's post-9/11, it's et cetera. And I think that kind of takes away from it being this period piece in this weird Thatcher Britain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also... The movie version, everybody has kind of a nice apartment and a nice flat screen TV, and everybody seems to be doing all right. If you're not being taken away by the secret police.
Sure.
So things are pretty cool.
And they invented Eggy in a Basket, which isn't a real thing.
That's right.
They made Stephen Fry say it. They were like, this is a British thing. And he's like, this is nothing. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Not as good. What about Logan? Do you think Logan is better than Old Man Logan?
I think
Logan?
It's better than Old Man Logan.
Again, it's another Mark Millar comic that I think is incredible the first time you read it when you're a drunk teen. when you're a drunk adult.
I really like the comic.
Anyway, yeah, me so too. I really like the comic too. It's one of the ones I think I like that more than Civil War.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Yeah.
It does have that requisite level of comic book silliness. They're driving around in the old spider. Yeah.
It's a celebration of comics.
Yeah.
All my favorite comic books are. But yeah, I mean, I think those two are just incomparable.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
But I think Logan was an excellent movie.
Yeah.
So,
but we can't. They are incomparable. So it's a manga.
it's a
bloody.
Manga.
Yeah, nice.
Bloody out. What's Dread based off?
I fucking loved Dread.
Yeah,
that's a great movie.
Yeah.
I watched it in 3D too, and I here's a cool fact about me. I own a 3D television.
Well. Look at
peak dad.
Money bags over here.
You're such a dad. Wow. I bet your whole family sits down, you all put the glasses on.
We've got two pairs of glasses because there was before you could wear any kind of 3D glasses to watch these. You have to charge them and they do a shuttery thing.
No shit.
That's very dead.
And we have to move the couch closer to the television.
It's 3D viewing time, guys.
How often do you do this?
I have not done it in
years.
Is
it just when you make your family watch Dread?
I did it heaps when I first bought it.
Really? I've got a 3D TV from like 2012.
Yeah, bro.
And I think I used it once and I'm like, this is no good. I played a video game and I'm like,
oh, it's terrible playing video
games.
This is
like half the resolution.
Uncharted 3 in 3D for about 5 minutes and threw up.
Yeah.
Guys, I have no depth perception. I can only see in two dimensions.
He's got a 1D television.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a One Direction.
Yeah.
Television only plays One Direction albums.
What movie are we talking about?
Dread.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd is, again, one of those characters that, you know, that movie is not based off particular run, but it's an excellent movie that I think, like, one of the best comic book adaptations, one of the best action movies from the last few years that just didn't get the audience or the credit that it deserved.
I do think that it's not based on any particular storyline to the extent that if you'd said this was a high-rise action film and we slapped the Dread property on the top.
Yeah.
I would completely, I'd be like, of course that's what happened.
But. Yeah.
And I love like, you know, like the ridiculousness of taking that, you know, the
slow-mo.
The slow-mo drug. I know a lot of people like, that was the deal breaker for them. This is too silly. But I loved that.
No,
so
I liked
much.
It too. It was actually, I've heard, I didn't see it at the cinema, but I heard it was like the best use of 3D.
Yeah, sorry,
at
I saw it twice at the cinemas.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there you go.
Once very drunk, it was great. I think it, you know, if I've been shitting on all the other superhero movies, I may as well say some praises for one, even though it doesn't technically win the battle that we're trying to fight right now. But it does what so few comic book movies do, and that's it just doesn't bother explaining anything. It just throws you right in the middle of a world, of a crazy situation. It just shows you this crazy situation. We don't learn how anyone in this world came to be how they are. We don't know why the judges exist.
We don't really know what's past the city. You know,
exactly. Yeah. It's just this awesome, really closed, contained story. And I wish more comic book movies would be like that.
Yep, agreed. Instead of being like an origin and then you get to the second movie and then you do a proper movie.
Yeah, and it feels like Ragnarok is like the first Marvel movie. I guess Guardians, you could argue, kind of. Not really, nah. But like Ragnarok almost feels like it's going to be like this quite contained weird thing that just kind of throws you in the thick of it, and you know these characters kind of fucking he's what, look at all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks good, doesn't it? Looks like a good one.
Great.
Good fonts, guys.
Great fonts. Where do you guys stand on Winter Soldier?
I thought you were gonna say, where do you guys stand on fonts in comics versus fonts in
what are you about? I think Winter Soldier's better than the comic. They're not the same. But I think Winter Soldier.
Lemons briefly de-evolved. Did you see that?
I think Winter Soldier
reverse
is
animorphed.
I think Winter Soldier is better than Civil War as a movie as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I need to watch it again. I really, really love that movie.
Yeah,
but I really love that comic too. And I think it's, you know, it's very, again, very different. It took a lot of liberties.
Yeah, and the comic has more room to breathe.
And doesn't he touch the cosmic cube and disappear at the end or something?
He's done all sorts of wacky stuff.
The Winter Soldier, how's that how that wraps up? I can't remember. Maybe it isn't better. I can't remember it. Yeah.
But in the movie?
No, in the comic.
In the comic.
Doesn't he disappear at the end?
It's a long ongoing. I guess I include a Winter Soldier in part of the fucking 60 issues that Brubaker wrote on Captain America.
Okay, sure, yeah, fair enough.
So.
Well, they're not, but again, though,
these are terrible rules that I'm just inventing as you try and beat me at this game.
No, look, these are playground rules. It's the exact kind of playground rules that caused the creation of Superman.
That's right. Yeah.
No, you can't. I'm bulletproof. No, I can see through walls. No, I can fly. No, sorry.
And invent all the rules you want. You're going in the pit at the end of this.
Yes.
What about Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think I've read a bit of Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think I've ever read something that I thought was better than
the Dan movie. Abnett and Andy Lanning run of Guardians of the Galaxy.
When was that?
This is before the movie. It basically inspires what we know as the Guardians of the Galaxy, but then Brian Bendis took over the property and fucking ruined it.
Bendis hater.
I enjoy some of his stuff, but I think people complain about a lot of stuff Marvel did over the last few years, and I think putting Bendis on Guardians and that whole run was one of the worst things they've done in the last 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Before that, it was this incredible cosmic sprawling epic that it included. Like, there was a Nova series and there was a Guardians of the Galaxy series and a bunch of events and kind of one shots around that. It was all written by these two writers, Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, who now hate each other.
But
the Guardians run in particular, when I first read it, it was like the first sci-fi comic that I really got into because it was so fun and funny, and all the ideas were like just like really nutty, but like just told in this really just like, I don't know,
same
fun way.
Same cast,
yeah,
same
more lineup? Expanded. So actually, you know, like Mantis, who's going to be a part of number two, was in it, and then my favorite Guardian is a guy called Bug.
Yeah, no,
he says like tick in the middle of all his sentences, and then Cosmo, the Cosmo dog.
It was all these weird characters and concepts, but of course that would make sense. Obviously there's a cosmonaut dog who is sent into space and now he's intelligent and telekinetic or what have you.
And they live in like their spaceship is in the body of a dead celestial, which is what is called Nowhere. Mm. And there are little concepts of these that can make their way for the movie. I actually, when I first saw Guardians of the Galaxy, I was really disappointed because I had such high expectations.
You thought
it
would be like wackier or funnier?
They've changed some characterizations as well. Gamora is very different.
That was my biggest problem, was that Gamora is like, she's like known as the most dangerous woman in the universe.
Right.
And she was just like a green girl
who lusts after Chris Pratt.
all green girls.
And Rocket Raccoon is pretty good in the movie, but he's considerably better than what he became in the Bendis run, in which the first issue of Bendis' run, he has a gun and he's saying, "Blam, murdered you. Blam, murdered you." Which that's is just true, like, you do not get this character at all. He's like a talking raccoon before that who like isn't actually a raccoon, hates being called a raccoon, is a really valuable member of the team, which they definitely brought back in the movie. But like, yeah, there's a lot of great shit within that series that I think makes it one of my favorite runs ever.
Cool. Spoiler alert, he's really good in the second one as well. Yeah, I've seen it. I've bloody seen it already. Yeah, I saw it on Friday. He has some really good moments. I think, yeah, you'll...
Did you like it as much as the first one? Or?
I've got a review. It's on my channel right now. Check it out, guys.
How many arrows? How many arrows?
Seven. No, I really
how many things you missed do you give it out of 10?
Yeah.
I really genuinely enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I'll link the review below, but... everyone's probably going to see it anyway, but no, yeah, I'm
seeing it on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
Getting the babysitters in.
Nice.
That's what I call my parents now.
That's all they are to you. Have you guys seen History of Violence?
Yes.
It's a good movie.
I think that movie is better because it's not as gross as the comic book that precedes it, which is real gross.
There's less violence, more history.
There's so much more history. Just
learning.
It's just Viggo just goes to the library every day and just...
Is the comic where they find Viggo's old partner and they've just strung him up in a basement for 20 years and cut his arms and legs off?
Yes,
but there's nothing like that.
That's not in the movie.
It's only been 19 years.
Yeah, in the movie, it's just his brother, the head of the gang or what have you that's pursuing him. It's just his brother and it's William Hurt, I think.
Okay, right, yeah,
yeah. But I don't know.
It's a good movie. I don't know whether it's better or not. I couldn't tell you. I just wanted to throw that out there.
We spoke about the DC animated movies briefly.
Sure, yeah.
And one of the ones that I think is undoubtedly better is...
Killing Joke.
Fuck no. one that I think is almost as good, but it's my favorite comic ever, so it can't be anywhere near as good.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Is it The New Frontier?
Yes, Darwin Cook's New Frontier, my favorite comic ever. Highly recommended to anyone who likes comics, fun, and life. Mm. But the animated movie... does a great job of adapting parts of it in a small 70-minute time frame. But the DC movie that I think does the best job of actually improving on the comic that it's based off of by simplifying the story is Under the Red Hood.
Yeah,
okay. That's a great movie.
Which is the story of Jason Todd coming back. Jason Todd being the famously voted to be killed Robin.
Yep.
And he comes back as the Red Hood. When that original run that was written by Judd Winnick, it's really good, but it ties into a ridiculous, universe changing event. So basically Jason Todd
gets brought back
to life because Superboy punches reality.
That's right.
And like the book is great except for this moment where you have to just accept that that's a thing that happened.
Sure,
And I know I am someone who has previously said 10 minutes ago that all comic books should be celebrated, but that shit is so stupid.
It's the worst.
And it pulls you right out of a good story.
Because all the elements were in place that you could just bring back Jason Todd.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, everybody. It's James here from the future. I just thought I'd let everybody know that in the next 30 seconds, there's going to be a few C-bombs dropped. I know that's probably not a big deal for most people, but I thought, hey, why not let you know in case you want to skip forward or you got kids in the car or whatever. So heads up, I'll time code it as well. But anyway, I'm with the show. I'm going.
Because in the comic, like Batman even goes and visits Ra's al Ghul and he's like, did you do this, cunt?
Yeah.
And Ra's al Ghul's like, nah, I didn't.
Yeah.
Mm. Chill.
Yeah, right.
And then, clearly someone punched reality.
Why'd you call me that?
But in the movie, he says, did you do this, cunt?
Yeah.
Yes, I did, cunt.
Yeah. God, the in-laws, you know what I mean?
I know,
hostile. Christmas is real awkward. Yeah, I think they have since retconned it maybe in the comic books that there is no more reality punching, which is for the best.
Yeah. Until Reality Puncher Rebirth comes out.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Men in Black. What's that?
No one's ever read that comic.
I've read it. I've read the first issue. It was on. It was in Malibu Comics. I had to send away for it.
Oh, really?
Wow. What did you have to send away?
There's a really good animated series of Men in Black from the 90s.
Yeah. So it was.
There's a really good Will Smith song.
Yeah, there is.
The second one. Second one's better.
Black Suit's coming. Yeah, that's right. Nod your head. Yeah, and I think, I can't remember. I had to buy another Malibu comic and clip the back and then send in my order for Men in Black.
And Malibu Comics, of course, an entire comic book universe based off of a whole song, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which one?
Celebrity Skin.
Celebrity Skin, okay. Yeah.
Is it better?
No, absolutely not. It was from that generic era. It was from the 90s where everything was super generic and, also Jay's white in it and blonde.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Great.
Sure.
What else we got here? This was my trump card. Kingsman.
I don't like it when this podcast gets political.
All I'm saying is just hear him out. Kingsman, I think is better.
Agreed.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the art from the Secret Service. It's a little flat and generic. And I think it could be more fantastical in the way that the movie was. And it's just kind of, everybody kind of looks like a guy in a suit.
Dave Gibbons is a great artist, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
When he's drawing fantastical people and your Dr. Manhattans and your Silk Spectres, but when he's just drawing regular people, they all look exactly the same.
What do you think of that, Levins?
I think the movie is really good until that fucking anal sex joke at the end.
So weird.
It's the worst. But then I finished it. I was like, was that in the comic? I haven't reread it since.
I don't think so.
Surely not. No, I don't think so.
That is I was like, man, that movie was pretty good. And then it just.
Then it just hit you late at night. You're going to the fridge late at night for some leftovers. You're like, oh no, that reference.
That was the worst.
Very bizarre. But yeah, but I genuinely think that's a.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what. Again, it's Mark Miller. He kills his darlings. He doesn't care what happens to his properties. He's like, sure, make it.
Starlight's really good, everybody. Yes. If you want a five issue limited, five issue miniseries about an old man going into space.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Exactly.
Never turn that into a movie, everyone.
I think they are doing that.
Yeah, too late.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah.
Hey, Mark Miller, don't turn one of your properties into a movie. But I think not happening.
Lot of these things, I reckon, like he makes like Chrononauts. All this stuff I think he makes, he does like four or five issues, so it can become. They're all movie pitches, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which, nothing wrong with that. Good on him, mate.
Yeah. What was I talking about? Can't remember.
Kingsman.
When are they going to make Clint the movie, which is his horrible
his anthology magazine. He's 2000 AD, his very own. Is that still going?
I don't know.
No.
He's got Miller World.
You know it's called?
Clint, because it looks. James, imagine the word Clint.
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Put a couple of the letters
because no one would ever say the word that it looks like on this podcast.
No,
three
would
times,
never.
Five
that would be
ago.
Outrageous.
but Kingsman, it's...
It's super
fun. I'm not sure what he was aiming for with the original because it's quite generic.
No, I get it, but I think it's a better story than the new one
is very Bond homage and just crank it up to the nth degree, but keep it British and keep it ridiculous.
Exactly.
So it
was, and
it
was and the two main characters don't look exactly the same.
Yeah, that's true. They don't look like they could be the same age. You're right.
Yeah. All right. What about Scott Pilgrim?
Scott Pilgrim is a really good movie until the last act, which is the act that they had to finish without reading the final
book. That's right, because it wasn't finished yet, right?
And the final book is so much more impressive and fun and like a much better ending. And I hate the ending to Scott Pilgrim the movie.
What's the... Can you fill us in on the end of the comic again?
Like, they're kind of similar. It's just the He realizes that he has an extra life while he's
yep.
It's way more fun and self-referential, and he doesn't at any point think he should have ended up with knives, which is a real dumb moment. And Ramona isn't like vapid and crap.
Yeah, she's pretty crapid. Yeah,
Brandon Routh's great in it though, isn't he?
He's very good. Yeah, as is good. Chris Evans. Yeah,
really I funny. Love Chris Evans' moment.
He's
in that.
Very good.
Especially
in that.
The action movie that he's a part of.
Yeah,
that's actually hilarious. Incredible. Yeah, probably my favorite comic.
Whatever happened to that guy? It was just that and Human Torch, and then he disappeared.
I don't know. Yeah. You know what he did do though? Snowpiercer, which I think is a manga.
It's out. It's out.
Yeah, Snowpiercer's great.
Was he in The Losers as well?
He was in The Losers. Yeah,
we like that.
I like The Losers a lot, but it's. It's better than the comics.
But it is better than the A-Team movie that came out the same year, probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Checking if I got anything else on
and
here.
And Chris Evans, of course, famously played Mr. T in that.
That's
yes,
right.
He did. Mm-hmm. I think I've got... my list is done, I think. Age of Ultron.
Nah.
Oh, no, that's definitely better. Yeah, even I don't though think it's a terrible movie, it's way better than the comic.
Yeah, I don't think that...
That comic sucks.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
All right, that wins.
So we won on...
A terrible movie wins.
Yeah, good. That's the rules of the game, baby.
Have you got any good ones, Meso?
Legion's pretty good.
So, yeah.
But I was never a huge fan of Legion. Well,
there's not much to be a fan of.
Yeah, exactly, like, right? Yeah. He was the instigator of the Age of Apocalypse. That's all I know him of.
Well, the X-Men Legacy run, which was written by Simon Spurrier a while ago, and that is basically him dealing with the death of his father. That's an unbelievable run. And it has like him, all of the different personalities in his mind is like, it's like in a jail cell.
Yeah.
And he has to like try and catch them before he accesses their powers. That's an amazing run. It probably is better than the TV show. But God, I love that TV show.
Yeah, absolutely. Solid on all accounts.
And like, if they make more comic book adaptations like that, which is like, okay, here are the parts of the comic book I liked.
Yep.
Let's just do something crazy based off of that small idea.
Yeah.
But then as I say that, I'm like, oh my God, look what they did with Preacher.
Right, yeah.
Because like, that was...
I stopped.
That was unwatchable. Yeah. You know, we have a Serious Issues Facebook group and I get belittled all the time for not watching more than the pilot of that. But I just like... I
watched a few and I didn't...
I can't...
I didn't love it.
That's the thing.
All,
like, comics are not boring, and
the good ones,
most of the good, like almost like even the bad ones aren't boring. They're just dumb,
right?
And it just confuses me to no end that a comic book adaptation can be boring. And so when one is like the recent Iron Fist series, for example,
right? Yeah,
I would rather just go and read some.
Oh,
comics.
Really? Yeah, I don't think you're fine with it. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, that's all my list. If anyone's got any other lists, feel free to add to the list.
Come and yell at me on the internet.
Yeah, please do, yeah.
Dear listeners.
I love how this is what you chose to come on and do. Just be like, you know what? I'm going to attack everything that everybody loves. I love it. But also, you're doing it in the name of comics.
I am.
So
that's
my favorite
thing.
What are people going to bloody do?
And content.
That's right. Mm.
Do you think there will ever come a day when there's a movie adaptation of something that will become better than the comic book?
I mean, are there other movie adaptations
examples that we named? But go on.
Are there movie adaptations of like novels that are better than the novels?
American Psycho, the movie, is better than the novel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, probably. I haven't read it.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yep, much better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So you know what? What is the one with Scout and the Mockingbird? One. One Flew Over the Mockingbird? No.
Yeah, One Flew Over the Mockingbird.
No, that's one.
That Mockingjay Part 2. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
No,
Nest.
No, what's the Mockingbird one?
Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah. One Flew Over the Mockingbird. Fuck. Oh, I'll just take away my podcast license for everything. That movie is way better than the book.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. How about this? If people have an example of something that they feel is better, they could hit us up on
Twitter.
Comic book,
if you will.
Yeah. Get at us all on Twitter.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah, not anything. At Mr. Sunday Movies.
I think free range eggs are better than cage eggs.
Fight up, Tommy.
Fight me.
At Mr. Sunday Movies, at Wikipedia Brown, at Lev Dog. Do you want to spell that? It's because it's not
LEVDAWG. Yep. It's not the way your grandma spells
dog. You better believe it. Yeah. So if you got some good examples, yeah, we'd bloody love to hear about it.
There's got
to
be one. There's got to be an obscure one. Surely.
Then we got some in there, right?
Yeah, totally. Age of Ultron is the winner, as we've established. Yeah.
Sure, okay.
There's probably a Russian one that's better than the comic book.
Nightwatch, Daywatch?
Yeah,
is that a
probably.
Comic book? Good? I don't know.
No, it's not real bad.
Terrible.
Real bad.
All right, that'll do it. Let's do the what we're reading, what we're going to read. But we've got a very special...
In the grand tradition of me sometimes playing a thing from my phone... Yeah. I guess Levins is going to play a little thing from his phone.
So this is something that you seeded. You mentioned this on a previous podcast. My son, who is 3, his name is Archie. He, when we get a book to read, he sings a certain song that you guys sing every week. So this is Archie's version of your famous theme song for this bit.
Hooray!
Bravo.
Thank you, Archie.
Very
now
good.
Go to bed.
Yeah. Get out of here. It's nice of him to fly down. Yeah. Anyone want to kick this off?
Did you read anything throughout the course of the week?
Yeah.
Yo, okay. I just read one of my favorite writers is Jeff Lemire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Artist and writers. He is best known for, I guess...
Underwater Welder.
Underwater Welder, sure. Which is going to be turned into another terrible adaptation soon.
With Essex, Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, actually, that gives me hope. I love the guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, Old Man Logan is something he's written. He's written stuff. He's stuff of Valiant. He wrote that Animal Man run.
Yeah, really good.
Everyone
yeah.
loved. He's just got a brand new graphic novel out called Roughneck.
Okay.
And it's about a disgraced hockey player. and being reunited with his estranged sister. And I've read that in my hotel room today.
Does that tie into anything? Like Sweet Tooth was an ex-hockey player as well.
I mean, he is Jeff Lemire is Canadian, so yeah. Hockey just seeps into all things he does.
Sweet Tooth's great, by the way.
Yeah, I love Sweet Tooth. Yeah. Also, the button has the issue that came out this week was a Batman 20 or something that has 4 pages of Batman watching a hockey match.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great.
Why don't they call it The Puck?
I feel like we're going to get a whole lot of stuff from him, like adapted, like real soon.
All of Tom King's stuff? Or?
No, sorry, Jeff Lemire.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. No? Yes?
Yeah, he's a very incredible writer. Black Hammer is a series that he's I was just gonna say
that's on my list of things to read this week. I've got one week left of holidays and
there's no comedy to take up.
That's right. No. Yeah, so
you can do whatever you want, Mason.
So neck myself or read Black Hammer, which is what I'm going to do. There's a couple of trades out, right?
I think you should neck yourself.
Oh, okay, cool. And it's from what I gather, because you've recommended it many times on your podcast, Serious Issues. It's former superheroes who are trapped in
a boring country town and they can't escape.
Right.
And no one knows why they're there or do they?
Oh.
Yeah. It's a really, really cool series. Beautiful art by Dean Ormston. And but normally Jeff Lemire draws his own stuff as well, like all his own stuff. Uh-huh. And he's got another series out called Royal City. Like he put out an issue of Moon Knight, an issue of Black Hammer, an issue of Royal City, and a graphic novel, like a 200-something page.
How does he do it?
Does he not have a family?
Yeah.
Does he not have a family?
He probably got like 8 kids. He's probably one of those people. He's good at everything.
He makes the kids do everything.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I really liked as well? Trillium.
Oh, yeah, that was great too. Yeah. First issue especially with the
You know what I liked of Jeff Lemire's? Bloodshot USA. Just kidding, it wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't good.
That's right, you read that for your show, didn't you?
That was, but like in comparison to some of the other books I made you read, that was pretty good.
That's true, yeah.
Kiss and Slayer weren't in it.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. What a world.
What a bloody world. I watched Fargo season 1.
Oh, have you not watched that before?
No, sorry. Episode 1, season 3.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, it's out?
No, it is.
Oh.
That's great. It's new season. Ewan McGregor's in it. It's the girl from Scott Pilgrim's in it. One that we don't like.
Yeah, no, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's really good. She's good in the...
She has three names. What's her name?
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
What? I was
Natasha Stock Despoja. She, I don't know. No, she's... What is
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, she's good in The Thing prequel.
She's great in Sky High, which is a very underrated superhero movie.
I love Sky High. I'm all about Sky High, man. But no, it's Fargo. It's great. Of course it is.
Yeah.
So
she's also great in, what's the horror franchise where... Like,
Cloverfield?
They cheat death and then death tracks them down.
Final Destination.
Right.
She's in the third one of that. Oh man, the Final Destination.
Don't they get good? Yeah.
They're always good.
They're all good?
The second one has my favorite horror death ever, where a kid gets crushed by a pane of glass.
Awesome.
That
like
sounds
flat.
Cool to you.
That sounds
Father
real cool.
One.
Yeah, absolutely. You better believe it does. That's my dream, to be crushed and escape this reality. What else is everybody reading? Anyone else?
Nah, that's about it.
Yeah?
I'm about to finish Zelda Breath of the Wild. I've got like...
Oh,
I've
yeah.
Like two shrines to go.
You and Angus are bloody well
Calamity
into that.
Calamity Ganon's butt.
Yeah. How many hours have you put into that?
I like 120 or something crazy.
Jeez. Wow.
That's a very good game.
Handheld or screen?
I reckon 90% handheld. It's
3D
like,
or?
As a dad, it's the best... It's the best way to play.
Sure, on the toilet.
Because I can play it on the can, on a train, in bed, after my wife tells me to come to bed. It's great.
You know what? What I admire is your restraint that you've gone this entire episode without saying, as a dad. You could have prefaced every single thing today with, listen, as a dad, I think the best comic book adaptation is this. But you haven't, and I respect
it. I was going to just try and sabotage this and just make James talk about father stuff. Because I've been loving that seeping into the podcast now that you're allowing
if
it.
If there's one thing that I hate, it's other dads. And I don't mean like you. I mean like you get the dad at the park and he's like, best job in the world. And I'm like, fuck off. Get the fuck out of my face. I want to talk to regular people like and my friends. Anyway.
I just wanted to talk to James about fatherhood and CrossFit.
I bloody bet you would.
Best
Listen,
podcast
man.
Ever.
CrossFit's okay.
I know. I do F45.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We're sworn enemies. Yeah. Nah, man. Honestly, like, it's keep fit, everybody. It's important. Whatever you choose.
And if you're in your 20s, which I reckon 90% of you are, start today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you start when you're 32, that shit is very hard.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody's way faster.
Our knees are very rickety.
You can't tell. Knees. They hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Next segment, Nick Mason.
Oh. Straight from the phone.
Did you get your kid to do this?
Yeah. This is my kid. I don't know what's happening here.
He's dead.
He got crushed by a pane of glass. Can I do the fart?
Oh, very nice. Good.
Very good.
Stereo.
Yes.
Okay, got some letters. Mason, do you have a letter?
Not right now.
Yeah, surprise. But if you want to reach the show, you can email weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter, and we will answer your questions.
JT Purcell wants to know if we have any tattoos or body piercings.
I'll inspect both of them now.
Yep.
Yes. No, they're clean, everybody.
I'm free. I'm not against them. I like a good tattoo, but I couldn't think of anything.
Levins,
that I'd
you've
put
had
on my
many
body.
Life. You've had many lives, yeah. as men who would have tattoos.
That's right.
You're
I used to be always featured in articles where it would be like, today's chefs, they listen to hip hop, they've got tattoos. I never had tattoos.
Yeah.
So nothing.
No, nothing.
Never a piercing or no. Yep.
Wow. I wanted to get my eyebrow pierced, but my mum told me that was very likely that if you got your if they slip up and pierce the wrong part, the whole side of your face.
I heard that as well.
Drips.
That's not true though.
I've never met anyone who has had that horror story. Face. Yeah, that's right.
Would you guys get a tattoo, like a pop culture tattoo or anything like that?
I almost got the word boobs tattooed on my arm. I was like 19. And also one time when I was in Adelaide, I almost got the face of my friend who I was in Adelaide with tattooed on my arm.
Wow.
But thankfully I didn't do either.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I should have got his boobs tattooed on my arm.
Absolutely. Right. Where, like forearm, upper arm?
Yeah, like, you know, this part.
Okay. What do you think is the best spot for a tattoo?
Probably forearm.
Okay, back, yeah. Back, but then you can't hide it if you're going for a high banking position.
Across the forehead.
Are any of us
Jared
going
Leto
for a high
banking?
Are any of us going
Not
for a high
now,
banking
obviously.
Position?
Yeah. We've ruined our careers.
I feel there's two schools of thought, and it's people who are like, okay, this significant thing happened in my life and I'm gonna commemorate it on me, or somebody who's like, I love cheese sandwiches, I'm gonna get a cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
But I'm in neither of those camps.
I love a dumb tattoo.
First of all, nothing significant's ever happened to me.
That's
and
true,
second
yeah.
of all, I hate dairy. It's not true. None of those things are true.
Well, James has best job in the world tattooed across his forehead.
You better believe it.
Uh-huh. Okay, here's a hypothetical. How much money would each of you require to get a love heart, like one of those cartoon love hearts, and then a scroll, and then the scroll says podcasting.
Or content.
Yeah, content.
How great. Much money?
Yeah.
It would have to be money where I wouldn't have to work. Ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel Levins would do it for free.
All right.
Well, you've really got boobs on your arm, so it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
In Adelaide.
Let's get our friend.
What else do you do in Adelaide? Right,
let's get our friend Tommy Gaslow to do it.
What did he get?
He has a dolphin with boobs. He, made he pretty much has the tattoo that I said I was going
to
get.
Yeah. Incredible.
Nice. Yeah.
Good on him. So not the word boobs.
Just the word boobs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So good. here's a tweet for you, Mason and Levins. Can I get your opinions on the Speed Racer movie? Because it feels like I'm tripping on acid.
Manga doesn't count.
I've never seen it.
I could not get through it. It's so boring.
Wow.
Yeah, it's real, real boring.
Real boring?
Our friends over at the Blank Slate Movie Podcast, Alexi and Cam, they just did an episode on it.
Okay.
They share a lot of my thoughts.
They love it.
That's right. They enter into my brain and they steal my thoughts. But this tinfoil hat will stop it.
Absolutely.
But
will.
I don't know. I just, it's an interesting attempt at something. What that something is, I don't know, and I do not care for it.
Is there a monkey in it?
Yes.
All right, then.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it, Levins?
No.
Okay.
If they pulled out the monkey subplot, they'd gotten rid of that, just cleaned up some of the subplots. No, it's
you need the monkey.
It's an Uncanny Valley situation, because there's no actual car racing happening at any point.
I almost bought all the Lego sets based off of the Speed Racer franchise on Gumtree for like $200.
You're mad on Lego sets.
And
then
I was like, nah.
What am I doing?
Yeah. Spend $200 on other Lego sets instead.
Exactly. Sorry, go on.
Well, I was going to say, this is from Nick Taylor. I think we've spoken of this before, but I'd like to get Levin's input on this.
Sure.
Hey, guys, long-time listener. All agree? We're all in agreement here?
Disagree.
I don't know that.
Kevin Feige has said that what comes after Infinity War is going to be completely different.
It's pronounced Fieri, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you would know from your years in the restaurant business. What do you all expect to see or would like to see for Phase 4? Same characters, different characters, individual films instead of a combined universe. I'd like to see more team-ups. This is jumping the gun a little because we haven't seen it yet, but I can't imagine
James
it's terrible.
Gunn.
Yes. More wacky team-ups. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thor Ragnarok, I think, is going to be
fun. Put Stark in space, put him with the Guardians.
Kill Stark,
yeah. I think we're going to get a lot of... They've been building the comics towards swapping out, like, the Hulk and Iron Man. I think we're going to be getting replacement actors at some point in the near future.
Okay, so do you think we're going to get an Amadeus Cho?
Potentially, Hulk? Yeah.
That comic's no good. But pretty much all the other swapped roles I'm fine with, but that one I don't like.
Ooh. In your face, that guy.
Yeah. I like Amadeus Cho as a character. Mm.
I would like to see fewer origin stories.
Yes.
Or if there's going to be an origin story, I want a 2-minute origin story.
Sure,
because at this point, I think we all understand how the system works.
Yeah.
You're a normal human being, and then you fall into a vat of toxic waste, or you get your heart shot out, or whatever, and then they put you back together, and you're a superhero. Yeah. There doesn't necessarily have to be an enduring moral lesson in that. You don't have to be like, oh, now that I've got a new heart, I realize that I was being a bit selfish. Yeah. You could just be like, I'm a normal guy and now I've got powers.
Well, Doctor Strange is one of the best Phase 1 Marvel movies. That's really, yeah. So, no, absolutely, I completely agree.
I want to see a Nova Corps movie.
Yeah.
All coppers are dogs, but put them in space. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Nice. I love Space Police. And Green Lantern didn't do it. I mean, it looks like all the Nova Corps have been destroyed after the first Guardians movie.
Yeah, I was very
sad
that Peter Serafinovich died.
Yeah, he's
great.
That sucks.
I reckon... He's not really dead, maybe?
He did explode. I don't know.
But robots. You didn't literally see his eyes being squeezed out of his head, so maybe
like what happens to all the other guys that die in Marvel movies.
That's right, yeah. Mm. Well, I'd love to see him back.
I'd like to see more space-based stuff.
More John C.
There's
Reilly.
So much universe to explore there.
I would love to see a solo Loki movie, like the Agent of Asgard.
Okay,
one. Maybe just him just tomfoolering through all the realms.
Yeah.
I want to see more of the Thor realms. I love Thor.
Yeah. Have you been a fan of the Thor movies?
I am I'm a Dark World apologist.
Okay, sure.
I actually thought it was a really fun movie, and then I got
it is
the
fun.
Cinema, and
there's
then,
nothing to it, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Malekith's shit. I agree. Yeah, with it. Yeah. I think Loki and Thor are really good in that movie.
Yeah. So. No, I think that movie is fine. Yeah. But I think Ragnarok is gonna blow both of them out.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big Waititi head.
Yeah, sure. He didn't like Hunt for the Wilder People.
You're a fucking crazy person,
mate. It's fine. It's fine, everybody. It's fine.
Have you seen What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes, I love that. Okay, I think that's great.
All right.
Yeah, what about Evil vs. Shark?
I haven't seen that one, actually. Yeah.
It's depressing, but it's good. Boy, same boat.
Ew.
Boy's good.
Ew.
Yeah.
All right.
That was from Nick, by the way, that first tweet that I read about Taylor, Speed Racer. Right? I don't know. I don't remember. Did I?
I just want to see them just not do origin. I agree with you. Just don't do origin. Just throw us in the middle of things. Just show us some crazy shit. Stop worrying about all the movies tying in together as much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, don't worry about setting up the next thing. Just, I don't know, just give us a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah, totally.
Don't give us a Black Widow film, but not an origin one and not a tragic backstory.
Give us a
Black Widow film where she's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. She goes on a crazy mission.
No dialogue. It's just
that would be great.
Actually, a her and Bucky movie would be pretty sweet. Winter Soldier movie, don't you think? Mm. Like, if you're talking Team Ups, Mason, which you were, you said that.
Yeah, I love Team Ups.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
They're good.
All right.
Isn't that her and Buffy?
No, Bucky.
Oh, Bucky. Oh, yeah, of course. Those two characters go together like peanut butter and jelly.
That's right. Like... I don't know. Like, I didn't have
James and Maso, the best podcast team.
Thanks, Mason. This is from Dara. Am I the only one who's annoyed that Star Wars has names like Kylo, Anakin, Mace, Galen, and then it's just Luke? What do you guys think?
Now that I think about it, now I'm livid, actually.
Is there another regular name?
No, livid's my Star Wars name.
Oh,
I'm
very
livid.
Good.
Yeah.
Livid Bolington?
Is it? Yes. Man, is there a...
Well, there's a Rose in The Last Jedi, but we don't know whether it's spelled like R-O-Z-E or what the Rose, anyway.
R-O-W-S.
Yeah, that's a better way to spell it, yeah. I guess it was the 70s, and they're like, Luke's a boy's name. That people can relate to. Uh-huh. There's also a denim jacket in that movie, so it's a 70s, man. What do you want from it? Mm. Yeah. It is weird. I don't have anything else to say. Anyone got anything else to say?
No.
I'm trailing off here. Somebody say something. Jump in. Help me out.
Star Wars.
Yeah. You're right. All right, that's the show for this week.
We did it.
Where can people find us, Mason? Do the thing at the end of the show.
Oh, you can find us on Weekly Planet Pod on Facebook and Gmail and Twitter and Bandcamp. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Our friend Rob Collings is at The Weekly Planet on Twitter.
He is. Mm-hmm.
Let me see, if you want to help support the show, you can go to Weekly Planet. Wait, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yep.
You can go to our Amazon affiliate link, which is in the episode description. You click on there, you can buy yourself. Something fun.
Star Wars.
You can buy yourself Star Thank You Elevens. You can buy yourself Star Wars.
You can get the Speed Racer Lego set.
Speed Racer Lego set on Amazon. He's probably the same price. We get a kickback somehow. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We've got teas on teepublic.com.
Levens, where can people find you though?
So I got three podcasts online.
Oh, no.
You can go find them. One of them's called Hey Fam. That's like a real budget version of this.
I was going to say it's this, but it's got cooler hosts.
Yeah. You don't even have a regular room to record in. You have to do it in public.
We can record it in sports bars sometimes. Yeah. And we never talk about sports. Except the bartender at the sports bar is increasingly more interested in what we talk about each episode.
Oh, really?
And we think we might have her on as a guest soon.
Very cool.
Nice. Yeah.
So, Hey Fam, and then the Serious Issues is the podcast that happens to be on a very wonderful broadcasting network, Nerdist.
Oh, what?
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, Serious Issues every week. Me and Siobhan Coombs read a whole lot of comics.
A lot of people say like they'd like to hear us talk more about comics. If you want that, this is kind of the podcast to check
get
out
on
for
that.
And in fact, you both have been on it talking about comics. Yeah. So go back and listen to those episodes. And I have a food-based podcast called The Mitchin.
Yep.
Every week we have a great segment called What Are We Eating? What Are We Gonna Eat?
Do you really?
No.
Because I've never listened to it. I'm gonna be like, that's incredible.
But
yeah.
It's, you know, if you are a chef or in the hospitality industry, it's about that. I don't know, it seems.
Or if you just love it to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, or if you love to eat.
Mm. We all love to eat, yeah.
We all love to eat.
But James, when you were on Serious Issues with me.
I remember. In this very room.
We both complained about there not being enough Western comics. And I just want to give a little shout out to a guy who, a listener, Travis Alexander, who inspired by our conversation, decided to write his own comic book called Grey Coyote.
There's no weird supernatural twists.
It's just all cowboys, all Indians.
All the way, yeah.
It's called Grey Coyote. It's on Kickstarter. It's got a week left and he's pretty far away from reaching his goal, but I reckon the whack-a-da-doos.
Yeah, if you want to see that happen, and we do.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be great.
So if you look up Grey Coyote on Kickstarter, or if you head over to the Serious Issues Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/Serious Issues Podcast, we've got that link there. And you can also talk about comics with us all day. But
absolutely.
Support this cool comic because it looks really good. He's got an artist involved. It looks really good. I hope he is able to make
it. And you love creator. Like, you always give them a shot, don't you, for anything you're reading? Like, for that week, like,
If your comic has number one written on it, we'll read it.
Yeah. You normally do. Even if you don't like it, you go two in.
That's right. If it's a creator-owned one, yeah. I mean, if it's a superhero comic and the first issue sucks, good luck to you.
Yeah.
If you're a creator-owned, I'll give you a chance.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Good on him. I'll also link that below as well.
Unreal.
Sweet as. All right. That's it. That's everything, isn't
it? That's everything in the show, right? That's what we talk about?
Yeah. We got to do a commentary this week as well.
Let's do it this week.
What are you going to commentate?
Probably Guardians.
The tennis.
Yeah, the tennis. Is it Wimbledon yet? I don't know. Maybe Guardians. I know
or
you want to
X-Men
do
Origins Wolverine.
But Guardians is nearly. Yeah, we're gonna do. We're gonna
right,
keep.
Fine,
we're gonna timely, right. Mason.
Okay, timely.
It's always time for Wolverine Origins.
Oh, never has been.
Thank you for using your veto power, Levens.
That's right. You've used your one for your next time you come in. All right. That. Well, anyway, thanks for. Like come, we didn't come down for this specifically, but thanks for driving out here
I justified the trip. By coming on here, it was work.
Also, if you'd like to, if you're a fan of Facebook, you can also go to Tommy Dasilo memes on Facebook. Yeah. If you want to see some sweet memes based on our friend Tommy Dasilo,
it's facebook.com/real egg hours.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And we made a Serious Issues video for the Planet Broadcasting stream. You did that video and I put a screenshot of Tommy's face in an egg yolk. It's a very funny joke if you get it. I'm not going to explain it if you don't.
No.
But it was cut from the, from the master video. So
was it?
Whoever was editing it didn't get the joke.
No, it wasn't me. It was, I'll bloody have a word, mate.
Get that put back in. Yeah. It'll cost thousands of dollars, but it'll be worth it.
Awesome. Oh, in 360, please.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Thanks for listening, guys.
Grab that jammy, guys. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you for having me. Grab the jewels.
Fucked it up, and he's right at the end.
But that's a good red. That's one of those rapping references.
Oh, is it?
Yes, run the jewels. Okay, somebody make us a Run the Jewels art. I would appreciate
run
that.
Run the gem.
Yeah, if you could.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.